Testing, testing.
Yes, I was about to burp. Do I still need to burp? A lot of buildup. Not a lot of...
And some disappointment.
Yeah, life.
Welcome to Feminists Without Mystique, a podcast where we process politics, sex, and the unrelenting fire hose of bullshit in the news through an unapologetically feminist lens. We'll begin by venting about the news, go deep on one important issue, call out terrible things happening below the top headlines in a segment called We See You, and then we'll end with something hopeful. We flipped the house! We get to begin!
Republicans can't pass that shit with GOP votes alone anymore! We got that sweet, sweet subpoena power! So that's good.
That is good. Nancy Pelosi has the gavel.
Yes, or although she might
maybe,
be.
Maybe not her.
Who knows, but. Yeah. Woo, things are happening! But hey, things are happening. Republicans still got that Senate, so...
They do, they do.
Can't block the Supreme Court and stuff.
Yeah, they have the Senate.
But we've got, you know, Ruth ain't going nowhere. I mean, like, she was such a baller after she fell.
Yeah.
She just went home and was like, whatever.
Yeah. I hope she's really taking it easy.
Yeah, she needs to. Please.
Yeah. Please. This is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for anyone who isn't attached to all of her news. She broke a couple of ribs. And we're very concerned. But yeah. She looks to be recovering. But yeah. It's no joke.
Mm-hmm. And we just found out, Arizona, Kirsten Sinema victory.
Yay!
First Democrat elected in Arizona in that position since 1988.
Pretty fucking great.
Mm-hmm. First openly bisexual senator ever.
Yes!
In U.S. history.
Very exciting.
Queen.
That's really great. That's really great.
Yeah, and that's breaking news.
That is breaking as of
breaking.
Monday. I know. We need some sort of sound effect.
Broken.
Yeah, that is really exciting. It so is. We have Kirsten Sinema in the Senate.
Florida's being recounted.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Both 8 million votes.
The governor's race and the Senate race.
Yeah, and by like Thursday at 3, I think, is the cutoff. So, shrug emoji.
Very nerve-wracking. Even if they both of the Democrats lose, Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum.
I love Gillum.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one. That's a hard loss. Mm-hmm. But he came very close, and the next election... there's like 10% more people who are going to be eligible to vote.
Yes.
Thanks to another positive voter re-enfranchisement.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the, and I keep saying ex-felons, but someone pointed out on Twitter that we should really say formerly incarcerated. Yeah. So I'm trying to make a mental note to say that because that's, I am probably going to forget sometimes, but. That's something that... But anyway, over a million formerly incarcerated folks in Florida have their rights back.
Yes.
That's great.
It's amazing. They also, sidebar, they made it so that greyhound racing is not legal anymore. So 8 places are getting shut down. Thousands of greyhounds up for adoption all over the states from Florida. So... get a greyhound.
Get a greyhound. Aw.
I know two very well. They're very nice.
I don't know any, but I take your word for it as an animal enthusiast.
Enthusiast.
But no, I mean, it was a blue wave. And I think that we both kind of felt, and I think this is a lot of people across the country who were hoping for a blue wave felt... a little bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best ways I heard it was described as like, it was a blue wave, but some of the most exciting candidates that like liberals had their hearts attached to, like all three of them pretty much lost.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams in Georgia. Yeah. There is...
We don't know for sure
yet. There's a recount there.
It doesn't look great, but maybe. Fingers crossed. I love her. I do love her.
Yeah. And also, I mean, and as a sidebar, I can't even get through any sentence without just feeling like we have to just note that, I mean, as we talked about in another podcast, there was a lot of voter disenfranchisement there.
Yeah.
It was... Brian Kemp cheated.
Yeah.
He cheated. You know, she's not behind by that many votes, and there are 50,000 that he had put on the pending list. Mm-hmm. They discovered a bunch of totally wrapped voting machines just sitting in an auditorium somewhere.
Casual.
You know, the day of, there was complaints of 4-hour lines after huge delays and not enough power cords in these voting places. So, if you starve local municipalities of resources, they're not going to be able to adequately get people. They're not going to be able to deliver, you know, administratively, the voting that we need for people to be able to vote. Because most people, again, because it's on a Tuesday, because we haven't fixed that yet, which we absolutely should. Most people have work, so it's extremely hard to get off of work if you have to vote in person. Mm-hmm. So that's just that is a sidebar that could quickly become a rant. So I'll try to just.
I agree with you.
But yeah, and Beto. Beto comes super
Zaddy.
Close.
Zaddy.
Oh my God.
I thirst.
No. Most people do.
Overall, I don't think his loss was. I mean, it was a loss, and it. Oh, fucking Ted Cruz. But. I'm sure because of all the turnout he got, a lot of the down ballot things that wouldn't have, you know, gone through otherwise that were good Democrat-y things, you know.
Yeah. And there were a couple of Democratic House seats that were flipped.
Right. So, I feel like Beto has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love him.
And I think, if he mobilized a real Democratic coalition in Texas... I mean,
he got so close.
Bonkers. Texas could be up for grabs in 2020.
Yeah, purple.
More purple than Ohio, guys.
God, Ohio. Arizona's purple. Things are happening. Oh, yeah. Ohio, yeah.
Hey, Kansas came through with a Democratic governor, and
shout out to Melissa.
You know, yay. We kicked out Kris Kobach, who is another voter suppression.
Yes, that felt good.
That felt really good.
100 women, over 100 women in the House, more than ever.
114 women will be in this. And including the youngest woman ever, of course, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
And then Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, the first Muslim women in Congress.
Yes.
And the first Native American women, Charisse Davis and Deb Haaland.
Yes.
Snaps.
Amazing. And the first openly gay in Colorado.
Yes. Openly gay governor.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Including, you know, so the people who, it was that cake case at the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're now governed by, you know, an openly gay.
And she ain't there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's Sorry, Kim Davis?
Kim Davis.
She lost her stupid clerkship or whatever she was.
Yep. If you want that cake. You can have it.
Oh, God. That felt good. Steve King in Iowa, although he won, he almost got unseated. And that was, I was disappointed that there was a surge. But Iowa, you know, maybe next time. Maybe next time.
Yeah, things are moving and a shaking, it feels.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah.
So it's super hopeful.
It is. I mean, it wasn't... I think if you expected the Senate or to be flipped or something, you'd be disappointed. But I don't think a lot of people going into it thought that was going to happen.
No.
You know?
I mean, of course, there was a glimmer.
Well, I mean, there's the hope. There's always the hope. That brutal, brutal hope that just ruins us. Also, white women, boo. We are you, but we are not you.
We are white women. Who are very disappointed in ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not ourselves,
but... Our collective. Fucking it up.
It's really embarrassing.
It's because, more white women Republicans than... So,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I think that's something to explore.
Yeah, stop that. Well, it's because the benefits that we get, from the patriarchy and white privilege, and, we just...
Yeah, yeah, but it does. I mean, I have a hard time relating to any, like, any. I mean, at least any like straight woman who goes into the polls in Texas and casts a vote for Ted Cruz. How? I mean, I guess, but whatever. You know, if you're a single issue voter and your issue is
being horrible.
Your issue is...
That was very partisan. They're going to know I'm a liberal.
Oh, my God. People might figure it out.
Sorry if I'm clunking my tea over here.
Oh, no. I don't think so.
Or sniffling or burping. I mean, it's all the sounds tonight.
A lot of sounds.
Things are happening in my body.
No. It's, well...
Moving on.
I was like saying, oh, speaking of things happening, but no, we, yeah, I think we'll probably be parsing the midterms for a long time and we'll continue to talk about all these things, but it's nice to just have a brief moment of celebration. Of course, it was indeed brief. But it's nice to have these wins sort of drawn out too. So it was nice to have Kyrsten Sinema, and then we're looking at a couple of seats that are still up in California. And hey, maybe once all the votes are counted in Florida and Georgia, all the votes that were allowed to be cast, maybe we'll see something. But if not, There is hope.
There is hope.
Those states are very much up for grabs in 2020, so that's good. But in sort of a broader conversation that we wanted to have, this weekend was the commemoration of 100 years of the end of World War I. And yesterday was Armistice Day. And French President Emmanuel Macron had this really great quote, I thought. And he said, "Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is a betrayal of it. By saying our interests first, who cares about the others? We erase what a nation holds dearest, what gives it life, what makes it great, and what is essential, its moral values." So I just really thought that was the perfect way, a perfect kind of segue into a conversation that we want to have.
Yes.
About the importance of like really differentiating between patriotism and nationalism. We look like, and even looking at the definition of nationalism, yes, it's patriotic feeling, principles, or efforts, but it's also an extreme form of this, marked by a feeling of superiority over other countries. Whereas patriotism is the quality of being patriotic, vigorously supporting one's country. So there is a difference between a vigorous support of your country and believing your country is great. And believing your country is superior to all other countries, or to other, and by extension, there is a sense of believing your nationalism, your nationality, your people are superior to other people, and that is like super dangerous.
Yeah, you can't talk about nationalism in this country without talking about white nationalism,
right?
And it's, you know, often when it's spoken about nationalism, they're really saying is white nationalism and white supremacy, and yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Racism is bad.
It is. I mean, and it's important to keep sort of a global perspective on this. I mean, we
citizens of the world, babies.
We have to be. When you start believing that you're superior over another group, it'll first seep into your language, and you will start using dehumanizing terms. Those are the beginnings of what the final steps of are, like genocide in some instances. This is not fucking around.
It's not fucking around. Hate crimes are on the rise in the past couple of years, and the group that has the highest rates of this, of hate crimes against them, it is Black people. So when we talk about white nationalism, it's more than just rhetoric, and also rhetoric matters, but people are taking action, and it's just despicable.
It is. It's, you know, not only this weekend was it Armistice Day and, you know, we're celebrating Veterans Day, but it was the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht,
I think 80th or 100th.
Yeah, 80th, because the 100th of World War One. So, yeah. But, yeah, and that was a day where, or a day, a couple of days, a couple of nights where Hitler ordered the destruction of synagogues and Jewish-owned companies and stores. And just looking at some pictures that were posted on Twitter, I was just reminded of how, while that was shocking at the time, it was quickly kind of normalized.
Yeah.
And people went about their days. I mean, there were people walking past kind of... I shudder to think kind of what would happen if something like that happened, even if it wasn't sanctioned directly from the government. What would happen if we woke up and there had been a bunch of homes destroyed or businesses, you know?
Right. It doesn't seem like a far-fetched idea.
No.
Like, these things start slowly and build up and build up. It's like, you know, lobsters in boiling water. Like, they don't realize.
Yeah.
They don't realize what's happening until it's too late. Because you just get, you adjust and you adjust and you adjust. Like abusive relationships.
Yeah.
All these things.
Yeah. Like abusive, everything from abusive relationships to The Handmaid's Tale, you know?
Oh, gosh.
Which.
Gosh.
And the amount of quotes of 1984 at this point that I just see regularly quoted.
Oh, God.
Because not only are we sort of forgetting our history, but where we are in a country where right now the White House has put out doctored footage of a reporter, incident where there were other outlets there. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you should see it. Look it up, because it's an interaction between CNN's Jim Acosta and an intern, and it's painful to watch.
So painful to watch the crouching. I'm like, oh girl.
Oh my god, this girl. I mean, part of me feels for her. Yeah, I mean,
also, where are you working?
Right, where are you working? I mean, like, you should know better. Like, and she's looking to Trump for approval. You could see every time she glanced back at him. But you know, she's grabbing the mic away from Also, this is like a CNN reporter in a White House press pool. It does sort of surprise me that she felt emboldened enough to actually grab the microphone. Yeah. It's not like Jim Acosta was yelling or out of order in any way.
No.
He was getting rudely interrupted by the president, which is sort of par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
But what the White House did was release a tape of what happened, where they doctored the footage. Not only did they speed it up, but they edited it. So it looked like he was sort of karate chopping her hand.
Yeah, it's... If that's the thing that's just happened, like, because him and his administration have always lied, but like we see the real photos of his inauguration, and then he says there were big crowds there, but this is where they're actually changing the image. I mean, it's a video, but you know.
Yeah.
It's a little chilling.
It is chilling. It's propaganda. It's state-sponsored propaganda.
Yeah.
That, there are so many things that keep happening where we have to keep repeating, like, this is not okay. This is not normal.
No. None of this.
None of this is okay. It's very... Yeah, it's just... It continues to be an upsetting time. And that is, I guess, like... That's... Getting back to just the difference between nationalism and patriotism, I think it's patriotic to want your country to be better, to see it for the great things that it has, but then to realize, like, oh, state-sponsored propaganda released by Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a.k.a. Aunt Lydia? Like, you know, absolutely not. No, because this is not what our country stands for. And as a patriot, you know, as New a England. Patriot.
She's got her New England Patriots hat on, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's chilly in here. But I believe this is not what our country is or what it stands for or what the founding fathers would have wanted. Mm-hmm. If we're going to go back that far, which we, you know, I think in some ways it is helpful to go back and think about contextually, what did they envision for the country? And, mm-hmm. you know, what were those conversations like? However,
yes,
with rapidly evolving technology, we have to be really vigilant about this and calling it out, because it is not a small thing. It means that someone at the White House in the press office oversaw the editing of reality, the changing of reality, and then released it to the public. And which, by the way, was because they banned Jim Acosta from the pool.
Yeah, so they needed a reason, so they said he, you know, inappropriately touched her.
Which
made
is
a fake
rich.
Video to back, I know, made a fake video to back it up, when in reality he was just, you know, asking questions that Donnie Dons didn't want to answer. And so,
and he said, like, pardon me, ma'am. You know, he's Jim Acosta, what a good guy. I mean, he's put up with a bunch of shit.
Yeah, the things he was saying, like, that were, like, being said to him by the president, if we must call him that.
Yeah.
Just like, I forget what were the exact words, but pretty much like, you're terrible.
Yeah, you're
CNN
a disgrace.
Shouldn't have hired you.
Yeah. And by the way,
personal
that was
personal attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the same week that he personally attacked three African American press, you know, members of the press brutally.
Yeah.
Saying, what a racist question in one case.
That was.
Whew.
Yeah. Telling what's the reporter from? Telling her to sit down.
Was it April Ryan?
Yeah.
So. I mean, it is a lot to keep up with.
Mm-hmm. It's constant.
And this is not. It's just, it's all bad faith. It's all in such bad faith.
Yeah.
Everything is sort of like the lowest common denominator, appealing to their base.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so important to really call this stuff out and think about what is patriotism, you know, really.
Right. In theory, if you love your country, yeah, you want it to be the best it can be, and you can't do that without sort of lifting up the covers and seeing what's underneath. That's not an expression. Not at all.
Maybe like turning the lights on, shining light into corners.
Right. What was the expression I said
covers.
For forever? It was, now we're cooking with gasoline. No, bitch. No. It's important to look at the things that are wrong,
mm-hmm.
because then you can fix them. But if you turn a blind eye to problems or straight up lie and say the situation is the opposite of what it is, like, there's no way for things to get better.
Like, being patriotic is saying, regardless of party, all votes should be counted.
Right. And yeah, Donald Trump's not a patriot. He's a Donald Trumpiot. He's a fucking idiot.
I mean, yeah, he has no moral...
No.
Like, compass at all.
No.
Which is part of why, like, we're all not really equipped to deal with someone who's a president without a moral compass. Because usually... Yeah. I mean, usually, even, like...
All id.
Yeah, I mean, most, like, all presidents have had beliefs that and dark sides and made some very bad decisions, and cynically, but I think correctly, a lot of them were not acting in the country's best interest. Mm-hmm. They were acting for themselves or for their personal interests, or maliciously in some cases, but. Not all the time. Like,
yeah, and not everything they say.
And not in 2018. I mean, it's really weird to have to go back as far as, like, the mid-19th century to find an example of, like, you know, a president who is, like, so openly hateful and racist and malicious. I mean, it's...
here we are. Cool. It's all good. Hey, we have the house. Okay.
We have the house. We have a lever of government to, you know, at least start subpoenaing and to... Trump has to work with the House because we can't approve budgets without the approval of the House. Right. So, and there are investigative committees and there are, you know, nothing probably real is going to happen for the 2 years, but...
Right, but nothing horribly terrible will.
Right.
Like, I don't think we're going to get great comprehensive immigration reform. I don't think we're going to solve our healthcare system. I don't, you know, but hopefully things won't keep... spiraling backwards and downhill so quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe just like more of a pause or like a slow crawl in one direction than the other and just sort of back and forth for 2 years. I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
But it's better than it was. And I can't always say that.
Yeah, that's true.
A somber high note.
Well, yeah, I mean, and, you know, on the subject of sort of somber things, I mean... Today is Veterans Day, and for a president who frequently tries to play to his base and talk about how much he respects the troops and, you know, how much he's an ally for, you know, the men and women who are, you know, serving the country, he didn't visit Arlington Cemetery today, as is the tradition.
Nope.
He didn't actually... attend the Armistice events of this weekend due to rain.
Yeah.
He hasn't visited deployed troops in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria. He's been seen on camera not knowing the words to the national anthem. Going back a little bit, on Howard Stern at one point referred to avoiding STIs as his personal Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So, because vaginas are a minefield.
Wow, like, what are you going to do?
So that's...
Find the clitoris!
Very brave of him. Very good. And, you know, he viciously attacked a Gold Star family on the campaign trail and also said of John McCain that he prefers people who weren't captured. But, you know, when it comes to, like, the people who are kneeling to protest, you know, police violence, like Colin Kaepernick, he says, like, he calls them son of a bitches and people who don't respect the country. And he never fails to... find moments to attack other people, but in terms of leading by example, I think it's fair to say he doesn't.
Nope. I would agree.
So on Veterans Day, just, you know, in addition to sort of a nod towards the brave men and women who are serving, it's important to remember that our president not only didn't serve, but doesn't really generally show a whole lot of respect to... them.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does kind of surprise me. It doesn't bother his base, but I think there's a group of people where there's nothing he can do at this point, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, why do evangelicals support? I mean, the whole thing is it's very confusing.
I'm perplexed. Oh, it's because racism.
Mm.
And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People thinking, we'll talk about the economy later.
Yeah, yeah. The few things that people say he's done right. But do we want to move on to We See You?
Let's see him, baby.
Well, this first one is something that I just will continue to scream into a pillow forever and ever and ever about. James Comey used his personal Gmail account while he was ripping Hillary Clinton apart for it. He was using his personal Gmail account, and at one point he recognized the hypocrisy, and I just find this unacceptable. I mean, I actually really don't have the words. He... at one point, he acknowledged that it was, quote, like, embarrassing that they needed to do this, but because his state email wasn't loading, he said, the aide will need to send to personal email, I suppose. embarrassing for us. And I just, this was October 7th, 2015 is when he said, you know, that's when that quote happened. So sorry if I'm stumbling over myself because I truly am engulfed in flames of rage.
It's true. Just all the fire emojis. All at once. There's a swarm.
Yeah. Sorry. So.
I feel you.
We see you, James Comey. We always will. We always will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on literally the first day that they can file for a 2019 session, we're moving over to Texas right now.
Hell yeah.
House member Valerie Swanson filed a bill that would criminalize doctors who perform abortions in the state unless the patient's life was in danger. Meanwhile, Senator Bob Hall, what'd you do, Bobby? He proposed an amendment with the goal of guaranteeing the right to life of unborn children and prohibiting abortion to the extent authorized under federal constitutional law. So, Texas Republicans coming after abortion rights. We see ya.
We see you. And stop it.
Quit it.
But I'm sure they feel emboldened.
Talking about some terrible prom kids.
Okay. There were some terrible prom kids that are making the news. They are, what is this fucking place called? It's like Baraboo. Baraboo High School in Wisconsin. There appears to be about 50 people in this picture. Class of 2018 throwing up Sig Heil, the Heil Hitler signal, during their prom photo. One of them is giggling like a fool and also has that white supremacist okay sign. It's completely unacceptable. It appears to have been taken by a parent who actually had it on their website. It's pretty sickening to look at, and I would encourage everyone to just check it out, because it's like, we see you, Baraboo High School. I mean, this seems from further reporting to not be an isolated incident, and that there's a lot of widespread racism at this school. Someone else referred to Mexicans as like dirty Mexicans in a Snapchat, and it just seems like this is not this is not an anomaly. And Baraboo High School, get your shit together. We see you. Everyone should be forced to sit through like hours and hours of Holocaust documentaries. Like, you guys, this is like the youth. They're not. I mean, if you don't understand, and you know what, you do have the right under the First Amendment to do this. Oof. You have the right to throw up a hate signal, but any college you apply to has the right to revoke your acceptance or decline to accept you because of your you know overt hate signal. So yes, you know if you're gonna argue the First Amendment, I'm not arguing with you on that. You have the right to do it. We as podcasters have the right to tell you to go fuck yourself. It's in very poor taste, at a minimum. So yes, you know, you're not gonna get arrested in this country for that, and I'm not, you know, that's the way it is. But you should all be ashamed of yourselves. I see you. We see you.
We see you, and we're podcasters.
We're podcasters.
We have rights.
We're upset about this.
Yeah, no, it's God, come on. People come on. Be like, can we just be better? All right. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she revealed that she needs to wait for her congressional salary to kick in before she can afford to rent an apartment in D.C. Hear ya. And in response to this, the Fox News panel on Friday, they were mocking it and laughing about it and also mispronouncing her name, despite her having been on, you know, mentioned on that channel and that show many times in the past, you know, few months. So we see you, shitty Fox News panel from Friday the 9th.
We see you. We see you.
Of November 2018.
And Steve King, who did win his fucking re-election bid in Iowa, was caught on tape talking about Mexicans as there's plenty of dirt coming from Mexico and the West Coast and other places. Quote, there's plenty of dirt. This is the most dirt we've seen. This is released by the Weekly Standard, which is a conservative outlet. But they're a conservative outlet with integrity. Like, let's not do that. I mean, we see you. We see you. I hope you lose re-election in 2020, and I am bummed that you get to be in power in Iowa during a presidential year again, but whatever.
Tis a bummer. We see you guys.
We see you. But a good thing.
Right, so on Saturday Night Live, so Pete Davidson had made a joke at the expense of Navy SEAL Dan Crenshaw, who wears an eye patch on not this most recent episode of SNL, but the one before. And then on this most recent one, Dan Crenshaw actually came on and made some jokes at Pete Davidson's expense. And, you know, it was nice. It was a small example of, I don't know, people coming together. And especially, and it was sort of in the spirit of Veterans Day. And, you know, Pete Davidson's father died in 9/11. And, yeah, it was nice.
It was a nice segment to watch. And it was nice to watch.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, there was forgiveness. I mean, he apologized. And I think Dan Crenshaw, who did just win his election bid, accepted the apology and then also got to make some jokes at Pete Davidson's expense. Mm-hmm. And those were funny. And it also included a kind of hilarious jab at the Ariana Grande Pete Davidson breakup, where he like had his phone ringtone was like one of her songs. Yeah. And it was funny.
Also, Thank You Next, number one on some sort of charts, Ariana. Get it.
Oh, she's had get
a,
it,
she's
girl.
Had a year and a half. So I wish her and Pete both the best.
I know. Now that they broke up a little sooner than I had thought, but I did think it was, like, coming.
I thought they were going to last, but...
Did you?
I'm drunk in love, Maria.
Oh, God.
I was like, maybe. I don't know. Who am I?
Thank you, next.
Bye.
So, yeah, I think that concludes this evening's Feminists Without Mystique.
That's it.
And we'll see you next week, Thanksgiving week, which will be a pre-recorded one because we're both not going to be here.
We're going to be in... Miranda's going to be in Italy. I'm going to be in Hawaii. Hey.
I'm actually going to be in Portugal.
Spain. Fucking... I keep saying Italy.
Thanks
obviously
a lot. You don't even know.
Well, she lives in Spain because Arturo's from...
I know you know things. I know.
I'm sorry. I'm going to Hawaii, though. So...
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.